Welcome back to the latest edition of The Audible. I am Bruce Feldman. I am pleased to be joined. We have a really special guest today whose story I think is as good a story as we have going in sports and certainly in college sports, and that is Pitt star James Conner. We're going to get into his battle of the last year, first with injury and then with something much more serious. James, thanks for joining us on The Audible today.
Thank you, Bruce, for having me.
James, I'm sure a lot of people have gotten familiar with your story. I think it was back in early December, right, when you learned of the diagnosis of Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Yes.
So what is, when you hear this, how much familiarity do you have with it? What's going through your mind when you get this diagnosis?
Oh man, it's a scary time. But I wasn't familiar with it at all. You know, I was on the phone, and then the doctors, said I think it could be lymphoma, and I actually didn't know what lymphoma was. You know, I knew it didn't sound good. But then I asked him if it was a form of cancer, and he said yeah. And it's just a tough time, because obviously first my knee, so things weren't going good for a while. I was blessed and fortunate to get through it. But it's just a real, real dark time when they first tell you.
So this is a doctor. Now, you had already had knee injury that basically cost you, you were the ACC player of the year. The knee injury cost you basically all of last season. And then a couple of months later, what was the process of how they even found found this?
Tore my knee first game of the season, and I thought I was gonna be fine. Actually, I got up and jogged up the field, but then I got a scan, and then they told me it was torn. It was gonna cost me the season, and that was really, really rough. Then I started rehabbing it, and I was feeling good. The knee was feeling good, but I wasn't getting sleep at night, and then when I would lift upper body on upper body days, my head would just, I would get dizzy and my face would get real, real swollen, and I was having the night sweats, and and I kept going to our team doctors asking, what's wrong, and trying to figure out different, things to do for it, different prescriptions and stuff. Then we went to the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and they checked for a sinus infection, and she looked and she said the sinuses were clear. She wanted to get an x-ray on my chest, and I'm very thankful she said that, because I went back to get an x-ray. Then they found a mass in my chest from the x-ray, and then I went to go get a PET scan, and then that's how we figured it out. So it was a little process, but I'm thankful that the ear, nose, and throat doctor recommended an x-ray on my chest.
I saw you had said this, I think it was a really good story in the USA Today a week or so ago, that you thought the knee injury may have saved your life. Is that accurate?
Yes, of course. That's what I said, because I honestly believe it. And like I say, God works in mysterious ways. He did that to protect me, because without the knee injury, I'd have just been, kept going. I wouldn't have even with the shortage of breath that I was getting, I wouldn't have took myself out the game, and I would have kept, having contact, and Lord knows what could happen. So, like I said, it's funny coming from a running back to say he's thankful for a knee injury, but I am.
When you get this diagnosis, are you at that point going on Google and reading up about it? Are you hearing, how do you gather intel from it? And then once, I know Pitt announced it, who are some of the people you heard from to come out and support and encourage you?
Yeah, that's one thing the doctors told me not to do, was stay off Google, because it was going to tell me everything I didn't want to see. But, just me being hard-headed, me being me, I was still, trying to figure out things. And but eventually I just stopped looking, and then I had met with a doctor, and he told me, it was a very curable disease, even though nothing was guaranteed. Their records in the past is very curable. He gave me the regimen of, what we're going to do, the plan for treatment, every 2 weeks for 6 months. He was telling me that, and that was about it. But after that, so many people reached out. A lot of fans, I was receiving a lot of fan mail, well wishes and prayers. Merle Hodge, Mario Lemieux, Eric Berry,
did you get calls from Eric or Mario or you know, or were they tweets or how did you?
All three. Yeah, Merle Hodge called and he said when he left treatment he would go and work out and Mario Lemieux told me, you know, I was gonna beat it and, you know, just to stay positive, you know, very encouraging words from him. And Eric reached out to me on the phone too and gave me a whole rundown of what to expect. And also one of my good friends now, Clay Schmidt from Clemson, he's actually a pitcher. You know, Clemson baseball, who had lymphoma and immediate return to the field, and we became great friends. You know, he just reached out to me through social media, and he didn't have to, so we became very good friends. Me and Eric talk, you know, pretty frequently throughout the whole process, and so, yeah, I'm very thankful for all those guys.
I know, I don't know if you're familiar with Coach Bonamigo. He's the head coach at Central Michigan. Last year, he was battling it, a form of cancer, and, you know, he talked about how much weight he had lost, and just said, you know, how it affected his skin. He couldn't felt like he couldn't eat anything. For you, what is the hardest, most painful part of the process?
The most painful part was early on, and then it was, you know, just the I want to say the saline flush, actually. I don't know why, but I just had a bad reaction to that. When I had a port put in my chest, that wasn't bad. Then when they accessed the port, you know, it's a pretty long and thick needle that they poke you in the chest with, and that's how the medicine goes through. And they would have to clean that before, and it was like you get this metallic taste that would just, you know, ruin your taste buds and everything. And it was just, you know, I threw up every time they did that, you know, to start. So I would get treatment every Monday, and Sunday night it would start. You know, I'd start getting a bad taste in my mouth because I knew what, you know, was going to happen the next day. But this whole thing really is a mental fight. You know, you'd be fatigued at times. You know, I didn't have any surgeries or anything like that. And so there was really no, like, physical, that, you know, hurt pain. It's just the fatigue and the feeling of uncertainty. You know, it was just tough seeing, you know, other people work out, and I couldn't. You know, I was still working out, but I couldn't obviously go as hard as I want to. You know, just feeling like you're getting left behind, and the feeling of uncertainty, you know, because the doctor always told me, he didn't always tell me, but he just made me well aware that nothing was guaranteed, even though he was going to do everything in his power to help. So it was just really a mental fight, but accessing the port and them flushing it out, them cleaning it, it wasn't fun.
And that's every time, what was it, 15 treatments, or how many times did you have
12.
To? 12.
Treatments, yeah, every time.
And yeah, I mean, look, you're an inside physical running back. I mean, I would argue, you know, make the case probably that the position you play would have to be as tough as anybody on the field. So just is it all emotional, or at some point is it just like, what is the toughest part of powering through such a grueling, you know, where it's 12 times and it's just kind of the uncertainty at all? What is the toughest, you know, part mentally for you to get through it? It seems surreal, like this can't really be happening to me, kind of like a nightmare.
Who has cancer, but you know, you start to live your life, and then when it happens to you, you realize, man, you know, this is happen to you, but it can happen to anybody.
I noticed, and this is probably, I think, after maybe your fifth treatment, there was a video you had posted, I want to say it was on a Saturday morning, of you going through a workout with your teammates, and you were flying all over the place. And if anybody didn't know better, they would have thought, okay, that's just a running back who's, you know, doing his thing in the off-season workout program or whatever. But it was in the middle of it, and I remember the reaction was kind of shocking. I talked to Coach Narduzzi that, I think it was a Saturday morning, and I think he was going to try to go with you to your next treatment, maybe that Monday. The reaction you were getting on social media, how much, if at all, did that, provide you more encouragement and kind of give you more strength? Think it's changed, maybe having it and fighting through it and it becoming a public, you know, so public. How do you think that may have changed you? Feel like because you've been, you know, elevated and become, it's become so much more public. I mean, you were on Ellen, you've been on SportsCenter, on all these, you know, pretty big platforms with your helmet off, not just for your highlights, but just for your inner strength and the way you've battled through this. Do you feel like it's put you in a different place where, not to say that you would make different decisions or, you know, it'd give you, you know, hey, I'm now that James Conner. Does it feel a little different now than maybe the last time you were, you know, just a running back?
Not an audience is, you know, a lot broader. Elderly, not just young, not just people my age or younger sports fans, you know, are attracted to me, you know. Older elderly ladies, you know, who doesn't know what a football looks like, you know, they're coming up to me and, talking to me and making conversations. So, definitely, you know, it's a little different of the type of people that attract towards me. So it feels a little different with that, way, but, I can hold a conversation and, you know, relate to a lot of, you know, different people. So, any gender, any race, all that. So, it's a little different, you know, but I'm still the same old, you know, James, just by, you know, helping others and, you know, still trying to get back to my old self on the football field. So not much has changed.
How close are you to being back to where you were before the knee injury, you think? Are you as strong, you know, in all the ways you test, or is that still coming back, you know, in terms of in the weight room and those kinds of things?
Still a work in progress. Still, you know, still working. So, but I will know I'll be 100% September 3rd. So still going to take advantage of these days. I'm still a work in progress, you know, get my body back. But I'll be ready.
Did you lose a bunch of weight in the process of it?
Fortunate for that, I didn't lose any weight.
Getting back, how surreal is it to be on the Ellen show and the, you know, to come to get to, you know, see that side of, I guess, Hollywood and kind of be part of that as you're going through it? I mean, is that probably the last place you would expect it to be?
My first time out in California, you know, and it's a lot different, you know, than Pennsylvania. Love them both. But yeah, California was great. Ellen was, you know, she's amazing. She's a great woman. You know, she's very down to earth. And yeah, she just, you know, she brought out Eric. You know, she just, you know, it was just an awesome experience. You know, it was a great platform for me to reach out. And, you know, I hope I can, you know, get back on the show one day.
How often do you talk to Eric now?
They just went through all their camp and stuff like that, and I'm busy on side of things, but pretty often, actually, you know, every couple of weeks or so, you know, he told me a couple of weeks ago, he does, you know, he's like, you don't know how proud I am of you, and that meant a lot, you know, and so, but he's busy, I'm busy, you know, we're both, but, you know, I feel like, you know, he's a big brother towards me, you know what I'm saying, so we want to talk every day, because we were texting every couple of weeks, and throughout the my whole time, so, you know, we're very close.
Have you had other younger, you know, different people reach out to you now as an inspiration who are now just getting into the same battle? You know, maybe they just got diagnosed with lymphoma or something. How often do you hear from people like that?
Oh, man. You know, a lot of people in this world have cancer, but you wouldn't be surprised of how many people you know, who has a close friend or a family friend, you know, going through it. You know, a lot of people, you know, that are in my circle, you know, or my Pitt family, have an uncle or their uncle's fiance is going through, you know, so, you know, I've reached out to a couple of different people, you know, just trying to give some motivation for them, you know, because they were inspired how I fought my battle. So, you know, I actually know, you know, a lot of people who've been, recently diagnosed and stuff who, you know, I've gave phone calls to, you know, just trying to brighten up their day.
Yeah, I saw a tweet you had retweeted from a man, Jake DeWitt. James, I went through what you did, and I want to say as I was listening to Rome, I assume that was Jim Rome, I was in tears praying for good health forever. I mean, it must be pretty powerful because you have a unique connection with people to go through what has to be the, you know, some of the lowest of the lows of getting that diagnosis, having an inkling, but maybe not all you know is how ominous that is. And then just to go through it and grind through it. I mean, is it just a connection unless you ever have had to deal with it that people just really don't know? Like, you now have been through it. You probably heard of it, but you just can't kind of connect with it until you go through it, right?
Yeah. You know, people who, you know, who have cancer, like, and once you go through it, you know, you're brothers. You know, you're in that brotherhood. You guys share a special bond, you know, because, you know, it's just crazy, the connection. So, you know, I feel for them, and we all have something in common, you know, so I love it when they say, you know, been through it too, you know, love to hear, you know, encouraging words or inspiring words to somebody who's been through it and beat it. That means a lot, you know, when they reached out, because we'll have a connect, even if I don't know them, you know, even for the first time talking, you had cancer, I had cancer, we both beat it, you know, we got something in common that's very powerful, and yeah, you want to take that for granted.
I remember last year, getting back to a little of the on the field stuff, you had been a guy who could have been a really good pass rusher. You played some both ways. I mean, is that something you think, hey, I'd like to give back and do that? I mean, Pat's defense is really aggressive. You could probably help out. Or is it just, hey, I just want to focus on just being a running back now?
Oh, man. I still love defense. But we'll see what happens. You know, we got some great edge rushers and a great linebacking core. And I believe those guys will get the job done. But, yeah, I still believe myself as a pass rusher. But, you know, we just got a new offensive coordinator. He's great coach Canada. He came from NC State. Still, you know, trying to learn and master his playbook, you know, because I'm a running back first. And so once I get all that down packed and have some fun and things are going smooth, you know, if coach brings it up, the idea, you know, I can do it. I would like to. I'd be all for it if he asked me to. But, right now, we just focusing on running back.
From obviously, the last year seemed like it was a big year for running backs. Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry wins the Heisman, Fournette's there, Dalvin Cook. I mean, that's a pretty thick group that, you know, except for Henry, those other guys are back. Right. For you, where do you feel like you fit in this picture from based on what you did in 2014? Almost 1,800 yards, 26 touchdowns. I mean, how do you feel like you compare to some of those guys?
I believe I'm right up there with the best of them. You know, I believe, you know, I know what I'm capable of doing. And I see all the time, you know, on Twitter of, you know, rankings coming out and me, you know, sometimes not even being in the top 10. But I'm never mad at nobody for that. You know, there's reasons for doubt. You know, I had a knee injury, you know, and had cancer. So I don't expect nobody to put me, you know, in the top categories. So I just got to come out and show that I, that you know, that I'm back and in full effect. You know, so I'm not worried about no rankings. I truly believe that I'm up there, you know, with Fournette and McCaffrey and Cook. You know, those are all great backs. Like I said, there's reasons for doubt, for, you know, for the writers and whoever's voting, you know, for the top guys. But, you know, I don't say too much. You know, I'm just going to let my play do the talking.
How would you define a successful 2016 season for you personally? ACC Player of the Year award with Deshaun and Dalvin Cook in that league and a bunch of other guys, I would think that would put you right in the middle of the Heisman race. So,
Deshaun, he reached out to me. Dalvin reached out to me. You know, Derrick Henry reached out. So, yeah, those are tremendous, fantastic players and people, you know, because they didn't have to reach out. But, you know, Dalvin told me better days ahead, and Deshaun, you know, talked to him on Twitter through messaging. And so, yeah, those are great people as well as football players.
Has this made you a more passionate about speaking publicly? Because, you know, look, not this time of year, usually the stories that we hear about in college football aren't always positive. It's somebody getting in trouble or whatever.
Right.
Your story is so much bigger than that. I mean, has this kind of spurred you to become more of a, you know, use the platform?
Yeah, of course. Like you said, you know, I was on the Ellen show and got to throw the game. It was a great crowd for the Pirates game after the first pitch. And so, you know, the story is spreading, and you know, all I want to do is spread positivity. And like I said, if I can reach out to somebody going through, you know, and right in the middle of some chemotherapy treatments and give them a little boost of inspiration, then I'm all for that, you know. We just had a banquet with my cancer doctor, Dr. Stanley Marks. It was a great turnout. We raised $400,000. It was just an overall great day. And, man, nothing but positivity coming from me.
How were you able to raise so much money? Was it just by the visibility of your story?
Yeah, you know, Coach was Dr. Stanley Marks was up there, and all of his guys, close friends with, he's very popular in the city and worldwide. You know, he saved so many people, and it was his 30th annual golf tournament. But you know, all of his close friends, and you know, they give out a Courage Award to one person every year, but this year was the first annual James Conner Courage Award, and during that, all of his friends were there, you know, president of companies, and, you know, they do the live auction thing, you know, that kind of stuff, and everybody just, you know, donating money to cancer research, and that's what the total came out to.
Knowing what that means has to be, is that even bigger than, you know, some of the other awards you've won, given the magnitude of it? Yeah, you're not only changing lives, you're probably saving some lives, too, in the process.
Exactly, yep. Mm-hmm. Nothing better than that.
Yeah. What would you like people to know, you know, if they, you know, haven't had a chance to talk to you or whatever, if they don't know much, then just, hey, he's the Pitt football player who battled through cancer. What one thing would you like them to know about you?
One thing, you know, sorry, talking about yourself, you know, just one thing, I'm a good-hearted person, you know, love to help others, obsessed with the game of football, and not too much, you know, I'm there if they need me.
All right. Well, James, I appreciate the time you take, and obviously, I've been a big believer in your story. I think it's really, really powerful. I encourage people to follow you on Twitter. It's at James Conner, Conner, and then there's an underscore there. As I said, I think his story is the best one going. And so for all the people out there who want to send some encouragement James' way, I'm sure he would appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
Okay. Thanks, James. Take care. Bye-bye. Best of luck.